WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? Man, the week is almost over here. Happy Thursday. So glad you allow Current Sports to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. We have a fantastic show in store for you all. In just a moment, we'll be talking with Dave Burkett. Dave is the Free Press writer, Detroit Free Press writer, beat writer, I should say, for the Detroit Lions. Dave is going to have all things Lions for us. He's been there in person covering each and every preseason game. He's going to address Nick Fairley being on the second team to how the Lions have looked in their first few preseason games and what he expects from this team this upcoming year. So you don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about some shocking news concerning former MSU running back Le'Veon Bell. Also, some big news, a big acquisition from the Michigan State men's basketball team. We'll talk a little tires. And, of course, it's Thursday, folks. Throwback Thursday, that is. Don't touch that dial, folks. An exciting show. But, hey, as custom here on Current Sports, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this August 21st. Pittsburgh Steelers running backs Le'Veon Bell, a former Michigan State star, and LeGarrette Blount will be charged with marijuana possession following a traffic stop Wednesday afternoon. Ross Township police say a traffic officer pulled over a Camaro operated by Bell around 1:30 p.m. after the officer noticed a strong odor of marijuana coming from that vehicle. Now, the officer found a 20-gram bag of marijuana inside the car. Bell was taken to a hospital to have blood drawn and is expected to be charged with driving under the influence of marijuana. Bell, Blount, and a female passenger were arrested and are expected to receive notice of formal charges through the mail. Now, the possession and DUI charges are both misdemeanors. And exciting news for the MSU men's basketball team. Michigan State junior guard Bryn Forbes has been granted an NCAA waiver and is eligible to play for the Spartans in the upcoming 2014-15 season. A native of Lansing, Michigan, Forbes will have two seasons of eligibility remaining after transferring from Cleveland State to MSU in June. NCAA rules require Division I transfers to sit out at least one season, but Forbes has an illness in his immediate family and also a small child. The 6'3" junior shooting guard, who averaged 15.6 points a game as a sophomore last season, is an immediate candidate to start and a look to contribute. Forbes, who shot 42% from the three-point range last season and scored 22 points at Kentucky, adds to the area needed that really is needed in a boost for this MSU men's basketball team, that being, yes, shooting. And shortly before his spring suspension was announced, Michigan State junior receiver McGarrett Kings Jr. was arrested and charged with driving under the influence with a blood alcohol content level of 0.17 or above and operating while intoxicated by alcohol, a controlled substance, or a combination. Now, Gannett, Michigan obtained court documents Wednesday confirming Kings' April 6th arrest and July 7th sentencing to 13 months of probation. He was sentenced by Judge Donald Allen in the 55th District Court in Mason after pleading guilty to the DUI charge in exchange for having the OWI charge dropped. Both are misdemeanors. And MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio announced on April 15th that Kings of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was suspended for the rest of spring football. He returned to the team for informal workouts in the summer and is taking part in preseason camp as MSU prepares for its August 29th opener against Jacksonville State. And how about the Tigers, and specifically Rick Porcello? He was outstanding last night with a three-hit complete game shutout. V-Mart Victor Martinez hit a grand slam and drove in a season-high five runs as the Tigers beat the Rays 6-0 at Tropicana Field. Perhaps even more impressive than Porcello's shutout was the fact that he needed only 104 pitches to complete the game. Of those 104, guess what? 76 were strikes. My goodness. Now the Tigers go for the three-game sweep of the Rays with a 1:10 p.m. first pitch set for today. David Price starts against his former team as he duels against Alex Cobb. We'll keep you updated on the score throughout the show today. And the U.S. national men's basketball team beat the Dominican Republic 105-62 in an exhibition game on Wednesday night. Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond finished with 12 points for the Americans, who shot 58%. His alley-oop dunk was named number 3 on SportsCenter's top 10 playlist, and the Americans leave for Saturday for Spain, where they'll finish their preparations with the final exhibition against Slovenia. Now, the World Cup opens on August 30th. and the Detroit Pistons. Today, they announced their seven-game exhibition schedule. Now, the Pistons will start at home against the Chicago Bulls on October 7th, my birthday, followed by a visit from the Milwaukee Bucks on October 9th. After a four-game road swing to Washington, Charlotte, Orlando, and Atlanta, the Pistons wrap up their preseason against the Philadelphia 76ers on October 23rd. Television and radio broadcast schedules for the exhibitions will be announced later. And how about Monet Davis? Show me the money, all right? Dallin Cave and Brennan Holligan hit two-run homers. Lefty reliever Austin Kujonski got out of two big jams, and Las Vegas beat Philadelphia and female star pitcher Monet Davis 8-1 in the Little League World Series on Wednesday night. Now, that puts Las Vegas in Saturday's U.S. title game and sends Philadelphia into an elimination game on Thursday night against Chicago's Jackie Robinson team. Now, the Great Lakes champion beat Pearland, Texas, 6-1 on Tuesday night in an elimination game. Davis allowed three runs, six hits, struck out six in 2 1/3 innings before leaving after 55 pitches. That makes her eligible to pitch again in the U.S. championship game on Saturday. She is out and one outstanding young woman. All right. And the Barclays Golf Championship at Ridgewood County Club began today in New Jersey. Rory McIlroy tries to go for his fourth straight tour championship win. Can you believe that? If he does that, my goodness. Right now, Hunter Mahan is top the lead, tied with Cameron Tringale at 5 under. Rory McIlroy right now is +3 through 16. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to comment on any of those, our phone lines are now open, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And really quick, just to give you guys a quick update, I guess my browser was a little slow on that one. Rory McIlroy right now, he's just finished up his round, actually. He has just finished up first round play, and he finished up three over. Three over is where Rory McIlroy sits. So not a terribly impressive, not impressive at all in his first round at the Barclays. But hey, I mean, come on. I mean, I think Rory, I mean, we can give him a little leeway here. I mean, the man has won three straight tournaments on the tour. We haven't seen that since the likes of Tiger Woods. And, of course, there's a lot of hype surrounding him. A lot of people, you know, believe that, you know, he could possibly go for a fourth one here. He's been playing the best. He's been the best player in the world. And, you know, the expectations are certainly through the roof. But, he deserves some slack. You know, don't pounce on Rory right now. It's only round one still. But he started off his round looking at his scorecard here. On the third hole, we start off in the back nine. So I guess you can see on the 12th hole to start his whole round, he double bogeyed, then bogeyed the next hole after that, then had another bogey. So that summed up his first nine, and then he parred, then birdied the fifth hole, bogeyed again on the eighth, and then finished up with a birdie on the ninth. So again, he sits at three over for first round play. And looking at the leaderboard, again, Hunter Mahan and Cameron Tringale, and also Charles Howell III, they are all tied at 5 under. They have all finished up their rounds. I'm trying to look at some notable guys here. You got Bubba Watson. He's 3 under, so 2 shots off the lead. He finished up his round. Ricky Fowler finished up his round. He's also tied with Bubba at 3 under. So those are some of the notables, really the only notables at the top of that leaderboard. So yeah, and also the Tigers, folks, again, as I just said, the Tigers, they have an afternoon game against the Tampa Bay Rays. They will try to sweep that series against the Rays. How about Rick Porcello? He was outstanding last night. I mean, just in a complete zone. Tigers definitely needed a series like this. Again, they can possibly sweep, this afternoon. We'll keep you updated on the score as the show goes on. And again, folks, how about Monet Davis? Show me the Monet. She is so good. She has really been putting a lot of eyeballs on the televisions of the Little League World Series. Being a female pitcher, she's only 13 years old, going against kids, her age, and really just dealing. I mean, she is unbelievable. She's not your typical pitcher here, folks. A lot of people, we talk about a female pitcher. I mean, I've never seen a story like this just because there hasn't been a 13-year-old girl who, has pitched in the Little League World Series. and has been quite successful at it. I mean, she's unbelievable. She's been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She, you know, that matchup, because I watched a little bit of that matchup last night. You know, she was going against a team that is known for its offensive proficiency. You know, the team that she faced last night was arguably the best offensive team in the Little League World Series. And, you know, she gave up a homer, gave up a triple here and there, but, you know, she responded, you know, especially after that homer. I mean, she responded, you know, striking out her fifth, sixth, and seventh. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, you know, considering the circumstances and considering the competition that she was going against last night, hey, Monet Davis, she looked unbelievable. You know, it's going to be interesting to see as she gets older, if she sticks with the game of baseball. You know, wouldn't that be something if they had a female MLB pitcher? I mean, that'd be unbelievable stuff. And I think Monet Davis, she certainly has a shot at it. But, you know, she, during this whole Monet Davis, you know, hoopla, she came out in an interview and said that her dream, her goal is to play point guard for the storied UConn women's basketball team with Gino, you know, Gino Auriemma over there. So, yeah, we probably won't see her, you know, continue her dreams in the world of baseball. But, man, oh, man, am I enjoying that right now. It was a thrill watching, even though her team lost. So they will play in Saturday's championship game. And, you know, it's a possibility that you know, because that will make her eligible to pitch again in that U.S. championship game on Saturday. And I think we would all love to see her one more time go out there on the mound. So, you know, Monet Davis, man, she is good. She is really, really good. All right, folks. Well, as I talked about at the top of the hour, we have a great show in store for you all. Of course, we're going to be diving into this Le'Veon Bell story. Le'Veon Bell getting caught with marijuana in his car. He was stopped. What makes this story so alarming to me is that, you know, this happened. This incident happened. I mean, again, he's in the car with the female passenger and also LeGarrette Blount, who is also a running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are caught with marijuana in their car, 20 grams of marijuana in their car, hours before boarding their plane for their preseason game against the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. Just hours before you board the plane, you're in your car getting high? That's what alarms me the most. I mean, now we've seen countless times NFL players and just athletes in general, not to pick on NFL players, but just athletes in general, get caught with marijuana in their car or get caught, you know, just smoking marijuana. It shows up in a drug test and so on and so forth. So, but for it to happen hours before boarding your plane for a game, that's, man, oh, man. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell is a guy who's relatively, I mean, throughout his entire career for the Michigan State football team, he's been relatively clean, relatively clean. I mean, no bad instances of him, you know, doing something off the field that, you know, hindered his eligibility to be with the program. I mean, he's relatively been squeaky clean. I mean, when he was here at Michigan State, I loved interviewing him, loved talking to him, you know, always had a smile on his face. Just a really, really good guy. A really, really good guy getting caught just doing a really, really stupid thing. I want to get your thoughts on it, folks. Again, our phone lines will be open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even shoot me a tweet at Al Martin, WKAR. So much to talk about, so little time. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is the beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, for the Detroit Lions. It's my pleasure to welcome Dave Burkett to the show. Dave, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Very, very well. So glad you've took some time out to join us here on the show. So much to talk about with the Detroit Lions. Of course, their next preseason game takes place tomorrow night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you know what? First of all, I have to hit on this story really quickly, Dave. A lot of the talk with surrounding the Lions has to do with, of course, defensive tackle Nick Fairley. It's being said that he is on the second team right now. He actually was on the second squad during that game against the Oakland Raiders on the road for the Lions. Is there a feeling at all that he will be a starter this upcoming year? And how did it get to this point in the first place? I heard that he had some bad eating habits, and you know, it seems as though the coaching staff just got frustrated with him. They're frustrated with Nick right now.
Yeah, well, to your first question, I mean, I think he will be a starter again at some point. He's just, you know, too talented, and it's not like the guy that they've replaced him with for now, C.J. Mosley, is tearing things up front there. You know, the Lions need a healthy Nick Fairley playing at a high level if this defense is going to function at its best. And You know, look, as for how he got here, it's not just about the weight. It's more about his work habits, his work ethic, you know, his production on the field. And obviously that's a product of the weight. You know, he's added a few pounds, but the Lions for years have been trying to get him to play a little bit more consistently and play with better effort. And they tried to jumpstart him. They tried to kick him in the butt a little bit by declining that 50-year option on this rookie contract earlier this spring. And,
right.
And that didn't seem to work. And now they're trying this here now.
In your talks with Nick, you know, in training camp and on the heels of the season, I mean, what has his response been? I mean, has he, you talked about jumpstarting him and getting him ready for this upcoming year and maybe waking him up by putting him on the second team. I mean, what's his response been like, and what's the vibe you've been getting from him just by talking to him in interviews?
Well, yesterday was the first time that he talked since the very beginning of camp.
Right.
And, you know, he acknowledged that he gained 7 to 10 pounds, depending on when exactly in the interview he was talking. And,
oh, man.
You know, he said that was basically due to his eating habits that got away from him. But, you know, I think he doesn't quite realize or acknowledge at least the questions about his work ethic. I asked him that yesterday, and he said, no, it's not a problem. I still got the same work ethic as ever. And, you know, if you ask the Lions, that's the problem, that he still has the same work ethic as ever. And, you know, he seemed to indicate at least that his work ethic is fine.
Dave Burkett, Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. As far as your, you know, just analysis of Jim Caldwell so far in the preseason, I mean, what are your thoughts on his leadership so far and his demeanor during press conferences and talking with him as well?
Positive reviews from the players. You know, I think everybody kind of, you know, one thing he's preached since he's got in there has been accountability, and players seem to like that. It's, you know, a little bit different. You know, every meeting he starts off with, a team meeting, you know, the penalties from practice that day or the day before. These are the penalties. These are the turnovers. These are who had them. This is what we need to clean up. It doesn't matter if you're Matthew Stafford or the last player on the roster. If you do something wrong, your name's going up on that board. And, you know, I think under the old coaching staff, there was a sense that maybe some of those elite guys were coddled a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly not the case under Jim Caldwell.
So Jim is certainly, what you're saying is basically he's just a no-nonsense type of guy. Basically.
Well, I mean, I think his thing is, you know what, this is how he's been around successful programs before. He holds himself accountable for, you know, things that go wrong, coaching decisions, whatever. He's big on being able to self-evaluate, and he wants players to do that as well. And I know talking to players, you know, they look at it not like Jim Caldwell is calling them out, but like, you know, hey, we're all in this together. This is all what we're working towards, and you need to pick up your end of the bargain in order for us to get there.
Dave, how big of a problem do you think discipline was, and how big of a hindrance do you think it was for the Lions last year?
Well, you know, look, I think Jim Schwartz, he had a distinctly different personality than Jim Caldwell. You know, he was a fiery guy. He let his emotions get the best of him sometimes. You know, you saw the headset spikes and the handshakes and things like that went awry. And,
right.
You know, I think his players, you know, they took on a little bit of that personality. And especially early on in his tenure, there were some of those penalties that you know, maybe crossed the line or they had too many of. And that's one thing that Jim Caldwell is working to get rid of. So I don't think that's the reason why the Lions had a bad year last year. I mean, I think it had more to do with turnovers. It had more to do with bad decision making. It had more to do with, you know, not having enough talent on offense or defense, but that certainly didn't help them.
Now looking at this offense, I tell you, it's arguably Matthew Stafford has weapons to his left, his right, and back of him. I mean, it's everywhere. And, you know, the expectations are certainly pretty high for Matt. I mean, if he does go out and have a season like he did on the tail end of last year, I mean, he really has no excuses here. What have you seen from him so far? And, you know, he was pretty solid when he came out a little bit. Of course, it is preseason here, but he was pretty solid, especially in that Oakland game. He looked pretty, you know, pretty accurate.
Yeah, no, he's had a good preseason. You know, he threw one interception all of training camp in, you know, 7-on-7 and full team drills, and that was a bad throw, but it bounced off his receiver's hands. So he's you know, the thing that this coaching staff has done, everybody talks about fixing his mechanics and, you know, having to learn a new offense, and both those things are right. There's been elements to both that, but more than anything, they've tried to drill into him to make the right decisions, to throw the ball to the right places, to not force anything, and I think you've seen that from him so far this preseason.
Dave, what do you think the pressure meter from 1 to 10 is on Matt? I mean, you know, and how do you think he's going to deal with it this upcoming year?
It's big. You know, I think he's going to have a pretty good year, but, you know, you look at everything that the Lions did this year, from hiring Jim Caldwell, basically because, you know, his reputation as an offensive guy and his work with Peyton Manning and quarterbacks. And, you know, same thing, their offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, because he worked with Drew Brees. And, you know, they you know, throw a lot of money at Golden Tate, and they spend a first-round draft pick on Eric Ebron. So everything they've done this offseason has been about making sure that Matthew Stafford has all the tools and all the right pieces that he needs, you know, if he's going to get the most out of his ability. So you said it, you know, if he doesn't get it done this year, there's really no excuses. You know, this is, all eyes are on him this year.
Very, very true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, David Burkett. Now, you know, David, some experts say that trading Sue after this year would save the Lions about $12 million in salary cap room. If you keep them, the Lions will take a hit. I mean, Sue carries a ginormous salary cap number of about $22.4 million that will remain this season now that talks have ceased. What do you think the Lions will and should do as far as Ndamukong Suh's contract is concerned?
Well, they can't trade him after the season because he's a free agent. So basically, it's you know, and the Lions have broken off negotiations for now, or put those talks on hold at least. So, you know, as things stand right now, Ndamukong Suh is headed towards free agency next year. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lions still want to get something done. I think Ndamukong, if the money was right, certainly would re-sign with the Lions. A lot of people have said he doesn't want to be in Detroit. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's only about the money. You know, if the Lions want to make him the highest paid defensive player in the game, and you know, frankly, he's almost there right now. He's in the top 10. I think he'd re-sign in Detroit. You know, if they remain apart in their negotiations like they are now, you know, that's when I think you'll see him test free agency. So, you know, if you had to, if you asked me right now to put a percentage on it, I'd say it's slightly, you know, higher that he signs with Detroit than he doesn't. But it's certainly anyone's guess that what happens at this point.
Now, David, correct me if I'm wrong. After this year, I mean, the Lions do have the option of, you know, enacting the franchise tag, right?
They do. You know, you mentioned his cap number this year is $22.9 million. So to franchise him next year, it's a little over $26 million. And then on top of that, they have another $9.7 million hit from, you know, previous bonus prorations, not to get into the nuts and bolts of things. But
yeah,
essentially, it's going to be a really expensive proposition. You know, it's going to cost them $36 million if they want to do that. And
wow,
that just, you know, I know Martin Mayhew and Tom Milan both refused to take that off the table in July, but it just seems very unlikely that they could afford to do that.
So you definitely don't see them probably doing that after this year.
I think it's unlikely. I mean, the only thing is, you know, look, Nick Fairley's going to be a free agent too. And, you know, we talked about him at the top and, you know, his lack of motivation. You know, CJ Mosley, he's going to be a free agent too. You don't have anything else at defensive tackle. So maybe it's something that the Lions can somehow work the books to make that happen. It just seems like that's just it's just something that would be very last resort, because you don't want to tie up basically, you know, a quarter of your salary cap in one player.
Well, certainly going to be interesting to see what happens after this season for sure. Okay, David, before I let you get out of here, I want to just talk about, you know, even though, you know, it is preseason, it's a really a small sample size of what you get from the starting guys. I mean, Calvin Johnson hasn't even played yet. He should be making his first start tomorrow night against the Jags. But what have you seen so far this preseason that you like and don't like from the Lions?
You know, I think the one concern, or the biggest concern I'd have right now, is on defense. And everybody's talked about the secondary, and that certainly is their weakest spot. But, you know, the Lions were counting on that pass rush and that front four to cover up a lot of holes they have in the back end. And so far they haven't done a whole lot up front. You know, they have one sack through two games, and that was by a third-string defensive tackle. It's probably not going to be on the team. Now, granted, they're just getting Ziggy Ansah back maybe Friday for the first time, and he'll certainly help. But I'd like to see a little bit more out of that front four. You know, if this defense is going to be able to keep them in ball games. And then, you know, the thing I like, I think on offense, I think there are a lot of questions about the receiving core, you know, beyond Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson. And I think they have some serviceable depth, better depth than I think a lot of people thought they were going to have. And those guys aren't going to play a ton, but at least they're making for some tough roster decisions. And, you know, if something happens to Calvin or Golden Tate for a game or two, you know, I think they have a little bit of talent that can fill in.
David, how ready do you think Calvin exactly is? Of course, his preseason debut will be against the Jags tomorrow night. He had surgery, off-season surgery on his knee and finger. I mean, how ready do you think he is?
No, he's fine. You know, they just have kept him out basically for precautionary reasons. You know, they just don't want to risk him. It's, they're giving him the Adrian Peterson treatment. You know, Peterson's not playing at all this preseason down in Minnesota. And,
right.
You know, I think if this was an offense that they had been in for a couple of years, I think you might see the same out of Calvin. They just don't want to risk him getting hurt. They want him healthy for all this fall.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. And also, as far as the kicking duties are concerned, Nate Freeze, do you think he's the guy? Of course, they drafted him in the last round. How confident are you in Nate Freeze's ability to really contribute on this Lions team this year?
That's a total toss-up. You know, Giorgio Tavecchio's had a better camp than Freeze so far. He's been more consistent. They did draft Freeze in the seventh round. That's obviously, you know, the special teams coordinator, John Bonamago. If he feels comfortable with Freeze, I could see them going that direction. I think that one is probably won't be decided until after the fourth preseason game next week. But, you know, if you're asking me to pick right now, just from judging by what we've seen up to through training camp this far, I think Giorgio Tavecchio is the guy.
Well, there you have it. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be interesting to see how that comes down to the wire as well. All right, David. Well, if you had to choose, one or two players that you think are really going to unexpectedly turn the heads of many Lions fans out there, who do you think that's going to be?
I think you could see a really good year out of some of the running backs this year, just the way that they're going to use them. You know, Reggie Bush, obviously Drake Bell, you know, those two have put together some pretty big numbers last year, at least, you know, the first running back tandem in NFL history to both have 500 yards rushing and 500 yards receiving in the same season. But they're going to be on the field even more this year. You know, the way the Lions are going to run their offense, it's going to be a lot of two running back sets or two tight end sets. So I think there's going to be even more opportunity for those guys to produce this year. And defensively, you know, the guy to keep an eye on is Darius Slay. There's everybody's wondering what he's going to be. He's looked pretty good this preseason. Obviously the real bullets haven't started flying yet, but if Slay can hold up his end of the bargain, maybe the Lions can surprise in that back end a little bit.
Yeah, they certainly are on my watch list as well. All right, David Burkett, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. And really quickly, before we get you out of here, David, of course, the big news around this area here in Lansing, Michigan, of course, is former MSU great running back Le'Veon Bell, who, of course, is running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was caught yesterday afternoon, just hours before boarding a plane for their preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles. He was caught with 20 grams of marijuana in the car with LeGarrette Blount and a female passenger also. What do you think will happen to Blount and Bell, and based on incidents in the past in the NFL?
Well, it doesn't sound like Blount had any charges against him. Maybe this comes back on Le'Veon. And Mikel Wister, when he got arrested, now granted he got arrested twice in the span of about a month and a half, a couple of years ago, you know, he got a 2-game suspension and was fined two more game checks. So I don't know if that'll be quite to that level for Le'Veon, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on that, and it's not going to happen right away, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on that at some point he might miss some time due to violating the NFL's drug policy.
Yeah, and folks, we definitely want to get your thoughts on this. Again, you can call in 517-355-9527. Also, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at Al Martin WKR throughout the show. Hey, David, thanks a lot for joining me. Really appreciate the time.
No problem. We'll talk again.
All right. Again, David Burkett, Lions Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, catches outstanding work. He is certainly very, very talented. All right. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will dive into this Le'Veon Bell incident. Also talk about Bryn Forbes. How about that? Eligible now for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And also, how about the Tigers? An impressive shutout from Rick Porcello. All of that and so much more. Do not touch that dial. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Current Sports, ladies and gents. A quick update, just looking at my email right here as the show goes on. And I want to let you all know that tickets for the 2014 Orlando Classic, held annually on Thanksgiving weekend and now in its ninth year, will go on sale this Friday, so tomorrow at 10 a.m. Again, the Orlando Classic will begin on Thursday, November 27th, and continue on Friday, November 28th, and Sunday, November 30th, from HP Fieldhouse at the ESPN Worldwide Sports O Complex at the Walt Disney World Resort near Orlando, Florida. That'd be a good holiday getaway. Of course, Michigan State is playing in that Orlando Classic, and it includes teams like Georgia Tech, Kansas, Marquette, Rhode Island, Rider, Santa Clara, and Tennessee. So again, tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for that. Fans can purchase those tickets to all five sessions, which is 12 games, for $150 each. And single season tickets will be sold only during tournament week and will be based on availability. So there you have that, Spartan fans. Go out there and enjoy some MSU men's basketball around Thanksgiving. How about that? All right, folks. Well, our phone lines are now open as we speak. Again, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I really want to dive into this story. You just heard, we just finished chatting up with Dave Burkett. David Burkett, he is the Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. And you just heard his thoughts on the Lions. And to wrap up the conversation, he talked about what could possibly happen to Le'Veon Bell. Of course, Le'Veon Bell, former Michigan State running back great, who was caught and charged with marijuana possession yesterday afternoon. For those of you who are just now joining us on the show, Le'Veon was actually caught with 20 grams of marijuana in his Camaro. He was driving, and you know, who was in the car? There was a female passenger and also Steelers running back LeGarrette Blount. Now, if you look at it, these are the Pittsburgh Steelers' top two running backs. These are their workhorses. These are their guys. And Le'Veon Bell had a very, very impressive season last year for his rookie campaign. He was actually the Steelers' Rookie of the Year. They named him the Rookie of the Year last year. He put up some impressive numbers. His upside was certainly big for this upcoming year. Now, he will certainly play, and I think he definitely should play this upcoming year. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, an instance like this where an athlete is caught with marijuana in their car or marijuana in their system? I mean, they usually get about, you know, a one or two game suspension, and then we'll be right back on the field, including a fine as well. And I think that's what exactly will happen with this instance. But it's really surprising. It was really surprising for me for two reasons. One reason being that, Le'Veon Bell, throughout his entire tenure here with the Michigan State football team, I mean, he was such a joy to interview, such a joy to talk to. Relatively clean guy, clean cut guy, you know, who stayed out of trouble, just went out there, you know, worked his butt off each and every, every practice. A blue collar type of player, you know, really exemplifying what Michigan State athletics is all about. He had a remarkable career here at Michigan State. I tell you what, back in, I believe it was at 2012, I mean, Michigan State, Le'Veon Bell was MSU's offense. I mean, it was basically get the ball to Le'Veon and everybody get out the way or block. So Le'Veon Bell, he was certainly, he was the workhorse. He was that guy. I mean, the amount of carries he would get per game sometimes I would look at the stats after the game and just shake my head and say, oh my goodness, he just in supreme shape. And just above all, though, you know, because this is a story that really hits on the C word, that word being character. And Le'Veon Bell's character is something that's been pretty squeaky clean. I mean, you know, an A-plus when it comes to Le'Veon Bell character, especially here at MSU. So I think this is one of those instances where I feel as though a lot of athletes, a lot of professional athletes, and even, you know, to expand upon that realm, a lot of celebrities out there, people who are in the public eye, I don't think many of them realize how one instance, one mistake, one bad decision, one lapse of judgment can really totally change the way you're perceived and totally change your life in the blink of an eye. You know, Mark D'Antonio, head coach Mark D'Antonio, always talks about, you know, decisions. You know, the decisions you make in your life, you know, split-second decisions. He talks about how split-second decisions can either influence your life greatly in a positive way or totally have your life crashing down in shambles. Split-second decisions. And this was certainly a split-second decision again, you know, that happened. And, you know, that, you know, it's again, I said it was surprising for two reasons. First of all, the first reason is that this is Le'Veon Bell, and his character has relatively been pretty upstanding. He's a pretty clean guy. And that's the first reason why this story surprised me when I woke up and started putting together today's show. And you know, the second reason that this story is so surprising to me is the context in when it happened. This happened hours, and I'm talking hours, folks, before boarding the plane, the Pittsburgh Steelers plane, to head to Philadelphia and play in their preseason game. Hours. We're not talking days here, where, you know, if they're engaged in this activity, you know, getting high in their car, where they're, you know, they'll have a, you know, a day to rest up and, you know, and to get ready for that moment, to head to Philadelphia. This happened not days, but hours before boarding the plane. So if they wouldn't have been caught, I mean, this is a high chance that Bell and Blunt would have boarded that plane high. I mean, it's just like, are you really? You know, you got to be smarter than that. And, you know, again, these are the top two running backs on the Pittsburgh Steelers team. So, folks, I want to get your thoughts on this whole instance. And what do you think should happen to Bell and Blunt now? For me, I do think I hope the Steelers don't overreact here. That's you know, when thinking about the story, this is another thing that comes to mind, because I feel as though, you know, when you have, I mean, again, these are your top two running backs on the Steelers team. You, everywhere you look now, if you go to ESPN.com, if you turn on ESPN, if you turn on sports talk radio like you're doing now, everybody's talking about this story. Because of, you know, Bell and Blunt being the guys, you know, they are, you know, other than Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, these two are pretty well known for the black and gold, okay? And an incident like this happening now, all eyes are on Mike Tomlin and this Pittsburgh Steelers coaching staff to see if they're going to send a message. Now, how you perceive this incident to be, you know, and how serious you perceive it to be can vary, you know, can pretty much vary. I was talking to my cousin this morning. He believes that, oh, this is so appalling, you know, the hammer should be laid down. And I'm sitting there like, okay, hold on. How many times have we seen an athlete getting caught smoking weed? How many times have we seen this? I mean, it's become so regular now, and I don't like to say it, but I'm going to say it. I mean, it's become so nonchalant now. That, you know, you kind of like, you know, if let this be an average player, let this be the third string running back or the second string QB. I don't think this story would be getting a lot of press because of, you know, we've seen this happen so often. And just because it's, you know, a Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount, your top two running backs on the squad, that's one of the reasons this story is getting a lot of press. And I think the magnitude in which it happened. I mean, you're talking about hours before you head to a plane to play an NFL game. I mean, come on. You got to be smarter than that. So I hope that the Steelers don't overreact, because there's some people out there that feel as though, you know, Le'Veon should get like a, you know, a 5 or 6 game suspension. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Can cut him some slack. It's not like he's been a repeated offender here. I could see if he, you know, had been caught multiple times, you know, with marijuana in his car. And the same goes for Blunt. Now, I know about Bell's record. His record is pretty relatively clean. He's not been in a lot of trouble throughout his entire football career. I'm not so sure about Blunt. I have no idea about Blunt. I have to, you know, dive into that one. But just speaking on Le'Veon Bell here, I think that the Steelers are going to lay down probably a 1-2 game max suspension, maybe, and then go from there. And find him on top of that. And I think that'll be a justifiable way. I don't even think it may not even go to 2 games. I think maybe a 1 game suspension here, this will yield. So, and again, looking at Le'Veon Bell's record, he's been relatively clean throughout his career. So, you know, but it's just so surprising, because this is Le'Veon Bell we're talking about. An upstanding guy, you know, his character is through the roof. And again, this happened hours before boarding for your game. Come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. And, man, I think they must have been smoking a lot of marijuana, too, because it says in the report, it says they drove by a police officer who happened to be in his motorcycle. And, you know, the policeman said that the odor was so strong that he had no choice but to go after him. So, yeah, and you know, looking at the game against the Eagles, Steelers and Eagles, Blunt, he made the trip on the plane for the game. He probably won't play. That's highly unlikely, but Le'Veon Bell did not make the trip because he had to go immediately to a hospital to get his blood drawn to see if he was, in fact, high on marijuana while driving, which could yield some bad things legally for Mr. Bell. So, well, again, we'll keep you updated as this story ensues. Again, follow me on Twitter after the show or even during the show, if because I will be following the story pretty intently. I'll have some thoughts about it on that. And you can also tweet me back, and we'll read your thoughts right here on the show. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And also, our phone lines are now open. I want to get your thoughts on what do you think should happen to Le'Veon Bell and how surprising this instance is for you upon hearing it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, how about Bryn Forbes? I was really excited to hear this news, too. I wouldn't say too. I was not excited to hear about Le'Veon Bell getting pulled over for marijuana, okay? But Bryn Forbes, though, I was excited to hear this, though. Bryn Forbes, of course, he was a point guard, for Cleveland State last year, who has decided to transfer in the area to the Michigan State men's basketball team. There was a lot of, a lot of press around this story because when you transfer like that, you have to usually sit out a year. You know, the NCAA rules require that Division I transfers sit out at least one season. So, unless there's extenuating circumstances that could yield otherwise. And for Forbes, that was certainly true. Forbes has an illness in his immediate family and also a small child. He had a very, very solid season last year for Cleveland State. He averaged a little over 15 points a game as a sophomore. And, he had a breakout game against Kentucky. I mean, he was great. He shot 42% from 3-point range last season. Is an immediate candidate right now to start and contribute for Tom Izzo's team. So this is exciting stuff because if you one of the big things, we've had, countless guests here on the show, like Joe Rexrode and Brian Callaway, all those guys, Chris Solari of LSJ as well. And when talking about this upcoming year for the Michigan State men's basketball team, it was really a lot of question marks as to how good of a shooting team this Michigan State team will be. And, when you lose a guy like an Adrian Payne, who for a big guy, he could shoot the mess out of the ball. He was unbelievable. It was just amazing to see his maturation process in his game throughout his 4 years at Michigan State. Adrian Payne, he could arguably one of the best shooter on Michigan State's basketball team last year. And then Gary Harris, a guy who could also light it up from deep. You had Denzel Valentine, a guy who really came out of nowhere with his jump shot, improved on it greatly. Is a guy you could depend on to hit a few threes here and there. But when losing, looking at those first two guys though, Adrian Payne and Gary Harris, there was a lot of people out there to say, okay, where's the shooting going to come from? You also have Travis Trice, who is decent from 3-point range as well. So other than Trice and Valentine, who can shoot? I don't know. You got Aaron Harris, the transfer from West Virginia, who's come from West Virginia to the MSU men's basketball team, but he has to sit out a year. So it's like, who's that next shooter going to be? And Bryn Forbes now gives you that. He now gives you that. A guy who, again, he shot 42% from 3-point range last year. Looking at, quotes from Denzel Valentine, he's a guy, he's a baller. He's a guy who knows the game. It's going to be cool with the chemistry between those two because, if you remember when, during the time when Denzel Valentine and Bryn Forbes were together for the Lansing Sexton, basketball team right here in the area, and they won back-to-back, state championships with Carlton Valentine, who has, by the way, returned to the Lansing Sexton men's basketball team. That's exciting stuff. But, they were really good friends around that time. I remember being still in college, my senior year of college, an intern, sports and news intern for Home TV, And one of my very first assignments was to go out and, you know, just do a, find a feature. And my feature happened to be the interesting dynamic that Carlton Valentine and Denzel Valentine share, with Denzel being coached by his dad. So I go there, right? And this is right after the season has just ended. They just won another state championship. And I walk in the gym and I get to meet Bryn Forbes and along with, you know, some guys from the rest of the team. And they're all joking around. I mean, Bryn and Denzel have, you know, a chemistry right off the bat. I mean, they're very, very, very good friends. And usually when you have two friends linking up like that, I mean, that chemistry is undeniable on the court. Those two playing in high school, if you ever got a chance to see those two play, I mean, they were great together. So that's also encouraging. When you got two guys who have this basketball history with each other also now playing on the same team, that's going to be fun to watch. That's definitely going to be fun to watch. You know, again, Bryn Forbes, he'll be, you know, and he's you know, it's being rumored now that he's a guy who can start right off the bat. So possibly, you know, just throwing out a lineup here, a lineup that I like, if Forbes is, you know, is it has, you know, has a good camp and, you know, is coming in and, you know, looks to contribute, you know, like I said, right off the bat, I could see possibly, you know, Travis Trice at that point guard, Denzel Valentine, or Bryn Forbes, you know, you can flip those two at the two or three. You know, Valentine maybe playing, you know, the small forward and Forbes playing the shooting guard. I can see that. So you got three there, and then probably Brandon Dawson Brandon Dawson definitely going to start next year. So Brandon Dawson and Matt Costello as your center. And then of course, Costello and Schilling will be battling to see, you know, who will get the most minutes at center. So we'll see, though. And it also is being reported that MSU is showing interest in the 2014 big man Ray Kasango, who was an Oregon signee who was recently denied admission to the school. So we'll see. We'll see how that one pans out as well. But, you know, I can see that lineup. So you got Trice, Valentine, Forbes, Dawson, and Costello. Hey, that may be a future glimpse into that starting lineup for MSU season next year. So there you have that. And also, hey, Forbes, and also that Kentucky game for those. I saw some highlights from Forbes, again, throwing up 22 at Kentucky. I mean, anytime you do that, hey, you're a big-time player. You're ready, okay? Anytime you do that against a John Calipari team, hey, yeah, you can play. This kid can play. I'm excited to what he brings to see what he brings to the table this upcoming year. And I want to get your thoughts on that as well. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, it's Thursday. You know what that means, right? Throwback Thursday, yes, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. All right, ladies and gents, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just give you guys a quick update on things that are going on with the Tigers right now. Of course, the Tigers are trying to sweep their three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, the game is in the top of the third, and Tampa Bay has a 1-0 lead. So 1-0, Detroit finds themselves down to the Rays in the top of the third. So, again, we'll keep you updated in the 10 minutes we have left in the show. And also, the Barclays is going on. A lot of golf excitement there. A lot of hoopla surrounded around Rory McIlroy and whether or not he can win an unprecedented fourth straight tour championship. Right now, he started off a little rocky in the first round. I believe he's +3. He finished up his, three over. Started off with a double bogey, then a bogey, then another bogey. Parred out. Had another bogey. Then he just a bad round for Rory today. Chalked it up as an L, and he'll be back tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if he just, you know, comes back and just really turns a lot of hits. As far as that leaderboard is concerned, Hunter Mahan and Cameron Trangle, they lead also with Charles Howell third. Those three lead the Barclays right now, all shooting 5 under. All right, and I believe we have breaking news here, as the Steelers have made a decision on Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount. And it looks as though, I'm on ESPN.com right here, sources say that, let me just read it here. Pittsburgh Steelers running backs Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount will play in Thursday night's preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Despite the fact that, again, they will be charged with marijuana possession after a traffic stop on Wednesday. Now, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin met with the players this morning as he decided how to proceed, and a source says that it will be, quote, business as usual for Bell and Blunt because the Steelers have a lot of work to do on offense. So there you have that. So despite being pulled over and being charged with marijuana possession, both Blunt and Bell will play in the preseason game against the Eagles. So there you have that. A statement has not been released from Mike Tomlin as of right now. But again, we will update you if that does happen. So again, follow us on Facebook.com/CurrentSports and tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, it is Thursday, ladies and gents, one of my favorite times of the week because we have this segment for you, Throwback Thursday. Throwback Thursday, Current Sports is Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what has happened on this Thursday in sports history. Today is August 21st. Shout out to everybody out there listening who has a birthday on this day. Let's start with 1929. Let's take it back to 1929. The Chicago Cardinals, they traveled out of town for training camp. They were the first professional football team to do this. So there you have that. Chicago Cardinals setting a trend there. Many teams do that in the NFL right now, where, you know, you have a football team who, you know, they may play in a certain city or in a certain stadium. You know, the Lions play downtown Detroit at Ford Field, but they practice in Allen Park. So, but, you know, a lot of teams actually, you know, take the show on the road and practice, you know, in a different state sometimes. So the Chicago Cardinals, though, were the first team to do that back in 1929. They traveled out of town for training camp, the Chicago Cardinals. All right, 1971, Laura Ball, at the age of 16, won the United States Women's Amateur Golf Tourney. She was the youngest winner in the history, of the tournament. How about that? Again, Laura Ball, 16 years old. That took place in 1971. The youngest ever in the history to win the United States Women's Amateur Golf Tournament. How about that? Okay, let's see this. 1984, of course, a lot of Little League World Series action happening around this time. And again, I'm so impressed with Monet Davis. She is certainly unbelievable. I wish she would stick with the game of baseball because just looking at her, I mean, I think, you know, if she stuck with it, she could possibly be pitching in the big leagues. I mean, she has the great form. It's not like she's pitching underhand here or playing in a women's softball league. She's pitching against boys who are, you know, who bring it. And, you know, she's dealing. But, you know, exciting stuff. But, you know, sticking with the Little League World Series, 1984, Victoria Roche, a reserve outfielder, became the first girl ever to compete. So isn't that fitting on the same day that we're talking about Monet Davis, you know, having an unbelievable outing in the Little League World Series? On this day, back in 1984, Victoria Roche, a reserve outfielder, she became the first girl ever to compete. So there you go, Monet, pay your dues. There you go. Victoria was the very first one to do so. All right, in 2006, Barry Bonds. Yeah, many of you know him. Household name in baseball. Many believe that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That's up for debate. But Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants, he hit his 725th career home run. 725 for Barry on this day in 2006. How about that? Barry Bonds. All right, and in 2009, to wrap up our Throwback Thursday, the Dallas Cowboys, my favorite team other than the Detroit Lions, of course. The Dallas Cowboys, they played their first game at their new stadium in Arlington, Texas, during the preseason game against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans kicker hit the scoreboard hanging in the center of the stadium. You guys know that unbelievably just crafted stadium that is in Arlington, Texas for the Cowboys. They have the one of the biggest scoreboards in all of professional sports in the world. It's quite a sight to see, but, you know, they realized they had to probably raise it up a little higher because, again, Tennessee Titans kicker, he hit the scoreboard hanging right in the center of the stadium. So, but on this day in 2009, the Cowboys played their first game in that new home in Arlington, Texas. So there you have that. All right, Throwback Thursday, ladies and gents, that wraps it up. Not too much happened, but a lot of significant accomplishments with Laura Ball, you know, being, you know, the youngest ever to play in a U.S. women's amateur golf tourney, and then Victoria Roche, you know, become the first girl ever to compete in the Little League World Series. That's exciting stuff. Gotta love that. We have a caller right now, Tom from Grand Ledge. How you doing, my man? Welcome to Current Sports.
Grand Rapids, actually.
Oop. Is he there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, what's up, my man?
Hey, hi, Al. How are you doing?
Very well. How you doing?
All right, good. Quick opinion, and I have to first say the obvious that I'm really disappointed, almost devastated that Le'Veon's caught up in this situation.
Right.
But having said that, I don't know, dude. I don't know where we're going, and I'm getting to the point where I'm becoming more harsh in my opinion and saying enough is enough. These guys are multimillionaires playing a game.
Right.
And maybe it's about time somebody sticks a stake in the ground and says, I'm just not going to have this nonsense. I'm your employer. I don't expect you to behave that way. You don't have a job here anymore. I don't know. I mean, it's more of a whole overall society issue. And I'm not saying it starts in sports, but a lot of these guys are looked up to, idolized.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're lenient with them, and everybody makes mistakes, I get that. But when you're lenient with them, I don't know what kind of message that sends to the kids, society, all those others involved.
Right. I definitely agree with you, Deb, because if you look at it, I mean, how many times, especially in the world of football as well, I mean, because there's so many arrests that take place. I mean, football right now, if you look at the stats, the game of football, the NFL specifically, has the most arrests per any North American sport. And and the numbers are constantly going up year after year after year. And how many times have we seen a player getting pulled over for marijuana in their car? And I definitely agree. Let that happen, you know, for you and I. You know, if I got caught with that, I may be out of a job, you know?
Correct.
Period.
Yep. I guess that's where I'm coming from. I guess at some point, and I, you know, I don't know that Le'Veon he's not going to be the first and he's not going to be the last. So,
right.
You know, but at the end of the day, we need to start taking a hard look at this kind of stuff and saying, you know, what does all this lead to? I don't know. I mean, you're right. They're a spoiled fraternity. And I don't know. I mean, you look at the Ray Rice situation. That's a whole different thing.
Right.
I just don't know. I think everything, you know, maybe we need to take a step back from all this money being spent on these kind of things. And maybe we need to look at our society and say, really? Is that really where our money should be going? Is that really should be our focus today? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. It's the longer this stuff goes and the more it happens, the more cynical I get and say,
yes. Right, yeah.
Where are we going?
Exactly.
I'll let you go.
Hey,
let you go.
Thanks
Thank
a lot. Thank you, Tom. A really very, very insightful call. I really appreciate that call because again, that's just being real with it. I mean, put it into context. I mean, again, if you were to equate this, let's say if you're listening right now, let's say you were caught with 20 grams of weed in your car and your employer finds out about it. I mean, what is going to happen to you? You know, and I that was a very, very insightful call. And it makes you think. Thanks a lot for that. Very, very good insight. Again, folks, you only have 1 minute left in the show. Again, follow Current Sports by going to our Twitter page. Follow me at Al Martin, WKAR. Also, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports and give your thoughts on this. Really appreciate it, folks. Thanks a lot for you all who tuned into this Current Sports. Oh, man, I can't believe tomorrow's Friday. This week is just flying by. As always, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. Thanks a lot to Dave Burkett, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Tomorrow, we'll have Rob Zimmerman, head coach of the DeWitt football team. Yes, high school football is right around the corner. You don't want to miss that chat. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday afternoon. And, hey, be easy, people.